We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? The Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 34. As we move into the final stretch of the season, the Yankees have 14 games left, and they just took 2 out of 3 from the Mets, reclaiming New York as a Yankee city. I was hearing some bullshit that the Mets have taken over New York. No way. That'll never happen. Scott, what's going on?
Well, first of all, in order to reclaim something, you had to have had it in the first place. So I don't really understand how they're saying this is our city and this is our city. I mean, you got to do something to actually do something in the postseason to actually take a city and to have an entire city behind your back. So this whole reclaiming thing that they keep saying is just complete nonsense. This is our town. It'll always be our town. Let's just not fool each other.
Yeah.
It'll always be a New York Yankees town. No doubt about it.
I don't think the Mets have had New York since before I was born. Back in 86, maybe the 86 Mets, but since then it's been all Yankees.
Yeah, 86 Mets had it. I was 6 years old at the time, so I don't even remember that. As long as I've been alive, this has been a New York Yankees town, and you know, they had it for they've had it for 2 years, I guess. You know, we'll give them 69 and 86. There you go. But yeah, no, this is a Yankee town, and pretty sure we showed them last night this was a Yankee town. Citi Field was erupting with Yankee fans with that Beltran double, so I loved it.
Yeah, it was great to see. How was your weekend otherwise?
I had a good weekend. You know, I was watching a lot of college football. Was a couch potato yesterday, just doing some work and watching some of the football games. My Jets play tonight, so yesterday I was just kind of looking around and seeing what everybody else is doing and screaming at my fantasy team.
Are you scared that the Jets are going to embarrass themselves on Monday Night Football?
No. First of all, I'm not scared of anything anymore. There's no reason to be scared. It's already happened 100 times. I mean, the Jets have embarrassed themselves so many times. So, like, the word scared isn't – I'm not even worried. It's just like if it happens, it's just another time. But honestly, I feel like it's there's a shift. There's just a different feeling around the Jets to me just because of the new owner or the new leadership at the GM position and the coach. I think this is just a different bunch. So I like how they're quiet, go about their business, and let everything on the field play them out. Similar to what someone's doing up in New England.
Yeah, so the Jets are just quiet, not really making headlines. No one's punching the quarterback in the face and making front page news, right?
No, that was the preseason. That had we took care of that. And then he went to the problem child, Rex Ryan team. So it was funny because I don't know if you see, I think it's on Showtime or whatever, that Brandon Marshall goes on and does that show. That was like part of the allure for New York for him because it was right there and he could still do his show. But it was actually kind of funny because they were like, oh, talking about the Jets. He's like, no, we're terrible. The Jets are terrible. We're not going to go anywhere. We have a 5'5" quarterback. Our defense is terrible. No one talk about the Jets. We're just going to stay here and just do what we got to do.
So I thought
it was kind of funny.
Are you bothered at all that Brandon Marshall goes and does this weekly television show?
Not really. I don't really think it affects anything. I could see how it could affect him if he was in Chicago and he's flying to New York to do it, but he films in New York. So for the Jets, it's like, you know, what's the difference between doing that and going out to dinner or doing that and going out with your friends? I mean, it's just something he does. He's still talking football, so I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would kind of rub me the wrong way if I was a Jets fan. But there's plenty
of things.
Well,
we knew it was happening before he came here, right?
Yeah.
And we gave up a 5th-round pick for this man. So this is all icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned.
I just don't think it's a coincidence that he's been on like his 5th team in whatever his entire career.
No, I agree with that. I mean, he's definitely been outspoken and there's been issues with him, but I don't know. I feel like we eyes wide open with him. We know exactly what's coming. But on the field, you can't really say anything bad about the dude. The dude, he's a baller on the field.
Oh, so, I mean, he's one of the top talents in the league.
And he's the best receiver the Jets have had in a long time. So
Since Keyshawn.
San Antonio was good for a year. Keyshawn, throw me the damn ball. I guess so. Eric Decker's been great too. But we had like Lavernius Coles was really good for the Jets for a little while. Lavernius Coles had some really good years. So there were some other good Jets, but we haven't had like a 6'4", 6'5", big time possession guy since Keyshawn, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I was at Citi Field on Friday. It's the first time I ever made it out to Citi Field. Have you been since the new stadium opened?
Yeah, I went once. I've been there one time, I believe. I remember it was the Mets. I don't remember who they played, but yeah, I sat in the outfield on the first row of the outfield. It was a, you know, it looks like every other park in, as far as the construction, where it's got that open outfield. It's nice. It's got a nice park. It was kind of dead when I went, but I assume it was a different story for you.
Oh, I mean, the place was rocking. It was a sellout Friday night, Yankees Mets. I mean, the atmosphere was great. First thing I noticed, though, because I never went to Shea either, but it takes forever to get out there from Manhattan. It's like 45 minutes to an hour on the subway. Like, who the hell wants to do that every night? I understand why they only get like 20,000 people a night. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy to get to. But I don't know. They're pulling. They're definitely coming out. So I mean, it sounded like when I was watching on television. You tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like there were a lot of Yankee fans. Well, I don't know about Friday night. I didn't hear it as much, but last night I definitely heard it.
Well, I think the score had something to do with how loud the Yankee fans were. I would say I saw between 25% and 30% Yankee fans on Friday night.
Yeah. Okay. And I think there's also a difference in the broadcast because last night I was streaming on ESPN, and ESPN seems to like I think the crowd noise is more prevalent in their broadcast. Where yes, kind of I feel like they mute it more. It's not as they don't have it as loud.
Well, I think ESPN puts microphones like all over the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another reason I think we were hearing them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Citi Field was nice. It's new. It kind of reminded me, actually, of Camden Yards is some of the architecture, just sort of that. And that's what they were going for, right? They're going for that old-time new ballpark feel, which is what Camden Yards kind of paved the way for.
Yeah, has that open outfield. That open outfield has become really popular. I mean, Safeco, I've been to Seattle Safeco. It's a very similar design where that outfield's wide open, and you can get – there's like a grandstand out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the only thing I thought that I liked better than Yankee Stadium was the food options, and I think that's pretty common, that Citi Field has amazing food options. You got Shake Shack, you got barbecue, you got pretty much everything you can think of. Other than that, I mean, give me Yankee Stadium all day. It's closer. I don't know, it just feels like more like a major league stadium. And maybe it's just because I think that sort of bright Mets orange kind of just looks like a minor league team, and I just can't take it seriously.
all the sparkly, the blue and orange. It is a hard contrast.
Not to mention you got planes taken off next to the stadium. It's just what are we doing out here?
Yeah, no, that's funny. It's funny you said the food options. My sister actually, my sister works for the company that provides a lot of the food for Shea Stadium. That was or for Citi Field, and that was one of her accounts.
Oh, it's so phenomenal.
Yeah, they do a good job as far as the food, and I think the Yankee Stadium you got to know somebody to get the good food options, right? You got to be in like the certain area, so that's one of like the down things about the about Yankees. But they're also doing like sushi and stuff like that. We need more like the barbecue and things like that. I think are good, better ballpark foods.
Yeah, sushi is just not something I want to eat.
I can't handle sushi with a baseball game. I'm sorry.
I like sushi.
Like 90 degree weather.
I like sushi, just not in the fifth inning of a baseball game.
And I have something against eating sushi outdoors and like the heat. I don't know. That's just nasty to me.
So I was up in the upper deck behind home plate. The seats were actually pretty decent for being in the upper deck. I was in a section which was mainly drunk Mets fans, unfortunately. And the score on Friday night dictated that they be jackasses. So that was a lot of fun. But there was this old guy who had a Santa Claus beard about five rows in back of me that every time a Mets player struck out a Yankees player, he would start this chant. And he would, the chant was, it took me a while to figure out, he struck him out. But he would say the first he for like a minute, and he would just drag it out. And everybody in the section would stand up and start getting into it with him.
So he would go like, he struck him out. Yeah. And then everybody would start doing, he struck him out. Yeah. He struck him out like that.
They didn't repeat it, but they would all join in on the struck him out part. So he'd go, he, and then they would all say struck him out.
Got it.
It was extremely annoying. But eventually people started to catch on. And there was this guy, this other Mets fan in front of me who would start looking for it. But the guy was like 52 years old and he was looking for the chant every time. And I think that you can do chants when you're, you know, a teenager all the way up through like 35, 40, and then you got to stop doing chants until you're like 70 again. And then when you're old, you can do whatever you want because old people get away with anything.
Yo, I don't agree with this because I'm approaching the numbers you just said.
Yeah.
And so you need a firsthand account on this one. I got a chant. Chanting's fun. I feel when I'm at a game, I feel like a kid still. I mean, at college football games, I'm chanting and yelling and screaming my face off. I'm 35 years old. I probably won't stop. I'm not going to lie.
It just didn't look good on this 52-year-old balding Mets fan.
Maybe it was just a guy then. Maybe it's how you do it. You got to approach it with some. You got to be like a confident guy and like, you know, go at it. Not like a puppy looking for a chant. Maybe
that's exactly what he was doing. That's why I was like, you're too old for this, man.
See, he's fishing. You can't fish. You got to be confident and lead it or you know, get in it with all together. You can't just look for something like that.
Right. Right. Well, I of course went to the game they lost out of the three. Just seems typical of my luck, but they did get 2 out of 3, which is good. And let's rewind, though, back to earlier in the week. We got some news that came out earlier in the week in Tampa and then also this weekend. But I want to go to something Girardi said regarding Ref Snyder last weekend. They were asking, some of the media was asking, why has Ref Snyder not really seen the field since he got called up? And I give credit to the media because that's something every fan had been begging for. And a lot of times we don't see those questions being asked, and it's annoying. But he did ask it, and Girardi said he's been in AAA all season, so he doesn't know the pitchers at the major league level. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard him say this. I mean, you're going to give that as a reason why Ref Snyder hasn't seen the field? That to me is the worst thing you could say. If you want to just say, you know, Drew and Brendan Ryan are giving us our best chance to win, you know, best for the team right now, I'll take it. I mean, it's boring and it's stupid, but...
But it's how you feel at that point, yeah. He just gave some smoke.
I'll take it. What is this bullshit about, oh, he hasn't seen the major league pitchers? I mean, yes, you're right, he hasn't seen the major league pitchers. He's been in AAA, he's a minor league guy. How else is he going to start playing in the major leagues? It's like, if you just said that, you know, like we were talking about this earlier. Greg Bird didn't see the major league pitchers, and he seems to be doing just fine. It just seems like bullshit.
Yeah, and, you know, just give us, to me, we've already discussed this and talked about it, about, you know, there's something else going on. Something's fishy with this whole situation. But at the same time, you know, if you look at his post-All-Star numbers, I mean, Ref Snyder hasn't been hitting the ball either. And as much as we call for Ref Snyder, I think it's more of a call for us being so sick of seeing Steven Drew and Brendan Ryan.
Exactly.
I think, honestly, if there was somebody that was holding on the fort, that we wouldn't really be saying it as much because he has been struggling. But the fact is that we would rather see someone who's struggling, but someone who has the upside and the prospects of a Ref Snyder with some youthful exuberance out there struggling rather than Drew. I mean, to be quite frank, I'd rather see Ref Snyder struggle than Drew struggle.
Exactly. You nailed it. I'd rather see Ref Snyder go 0-4 than Drew 0-4.
Exactly. at least I have a little bit of hope and there's potential and there's a little bit of excitement and I don't know. You know, and we'll talk about this, I know, soon, but the fact that Ackley's hitting now, to me, makes this kind of a moot point because, you know, he's playing more lately, but he's been hitting. I think he's been hitting 360 since he's come over and, 25 at-bats. There's a lot of guys who could play second base right now for the Yankees. So, you know, rolling out Brendan Ryan, to me, just makes no sense. Drew, okay, but now that Ackley's hitting left-handed bat, I mean, I want to see him out there.
And it's to me, honestly, more, it's not really about the production on the field. It's more the reason that Girardi gave. It just rubs me the wrong way because it's so against everything. You know, it's like that is the worst reason he could have given. To me, it's just annoying. And it, like you said, it kind of proves that there's something there with Ref Snyder that they don't like. And
yeah, they don't like something. And I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's, you know, maybe it's the fact that he's so new to second base and that's just what it is, or if there really is an attitude thing, but I'm not sure if I'm buying that because I'm kind of, every time I see him pop on the screen, I'm like staring at him, like seeing what his demeanor is and like seeing how he interacts with the other guys. And every time I see him, he's like, you know, joking around or talking with somebody in the dugout. So I just don't know. I don't know what it is. But I think the fact that we get frustrated with things like this is it's accumulated over the course of the season with all these things that Girardi does, you know. So it's hitting a tipping point.
What purpose is he providing being on the major league roster as a September call up if he's not going to get on the field?
Exactly, and with the depth, quote depth that we have at second base, might as well use another arm, right? If that's the case, it's a
no. I can't take Girardi with another.
Let's just parade another arm out there.
No, we had too many. He goes to too many pitching changes. Don't need another bullpen arm. All right, more bad news on the injury front. It seems like we can't get through a week without talking about somebody getting injured. Tanaka, grade 1 hamstring injury, running the bases on Friday night. I think he injured it in the second inning after he bunted. So the good news is he pitched the rest of the game and pitched decently. I don't think it was affecting him too much. And he's going to miss his next start against Toronto. But I think they said if this was a playoff game coming up, then he would probably go out there and pitch. But to me, this seems like as close to a playoff game as you can get. I mean, down 2.5 games going into Toronto with 2 weeks left in the season. It doesn't get any more critical than that.
Yeah, and the fact that it was that he pitched the rest of the game, and that it's a grade 1 strain. A lot of times, I think when you like slightly strain something like that, you don't feel it immediately, just because of the adrenaline and just you're up for the game. So it's probably something where he felt uncomfortable the next day, or maybe even later in that day after the game, and he felt a little discomfort. So they're just definitely taking precautions. I mean, you know that they're going to take precautions with him every time. So to the Yankees, Tanaka is a long term commodity, and they're gonna baby him. To a point where they can, and it seems to me that they're okay with taking this wild card one game,
yep.
You know, and keep getting him ready for that.
Exactly. They rather have Tanaka healthy for that one game playoff than push him to try and win the division this week.
Yep.
You can disagree or agree with that. I think I probably disagree with that, because I think there's too many variables in a one game playoff that can go wrong. And to me, that's not even really like the playoffs. I think if you're only playing one game, that's not really the playoffs.
It's a play-in game is what it is.
Yeah, it's 163. It's not a playoffs. So, but this really could not have come at a worse time, because instead of Tanaka, who's pitched extremely well against Toronto, we're going to see Nova, who has gotten crushed.
Yeah, Toronto has Nova's number for sure. And he just doesn't seem like he can get anybody in that lineup out. A couple times through the lineup. So that'll be an interesting game. He's going to have a quick hook, I guarantee it. So hopefully we could get some good starts in the front end of this, and then, you know, he'll have our bullpen ready to go for the Nova game, because I have a feeling we're going to be using it.
Yeah, especially with that lineup.
Yep, no doubt.
You got to use all the arms you can get.
Makes Severino's start even more important.
Absolutely. So the Yankees are now, as I said, 2.5 in back of Toronto. They've made this interesting again. They had a good week. They won both series this week, and they put themselves in a position where if they win this series in Toronto, they can go into the last couple weeks of the season, and if they play well, they have a good chance at winning the division. There's currently 14 games left on the schedule, and they have no off days between now and the end of the season, so it's not going to get any easier.
Right, and now we have kind of a different picture, I think, in the wild card since the last time we saw it. We saw this happening, but Texas is definitely pulling away from Houston. I think they have another set this weekend, so that could determine a lot of things. But also, don't count out Anaheim. Anaheim is still lingering back. I think they're one or two games back of the wild card, the second wild card.
Same with Minnesota.
Same with Minnesota. So those three teams, or four teams, I guess, are really going for that second one. I'm knocking on wood right now, but it's looking like we're in a much better position for the wild card, and then these guys are going to be fighting out for that second. So hopefully, we can show well against Toronto, and then let the chips fall where they may the last 2 weeks. But I tip my hat to the Red Sox. Thank you very much for taking 2 of 3.
Yeah,
Can
they tell the Yankees how to play the Blue Jays? Because they've taken care of them the last couple weeks.
Yeah, no, it's been good for us too. I mean, this is what we wanted to do, right? We wanted to get within 3 games, I think, when we played them, so we could get a little bit of redemption, or at least have the opportunity to get redemption. And they've put themselves in that situation. So now we just got to play ball.
So you mentioned that Texas and Houston race. It's really interesting, because Houston had a huge lead, but they've essentially been a 500 team since June. And Texas has really come on strong. Since that Cole Hamels trade, they've been phenomenal. Who would you rather play in a one-game playoff?
I hate saying that, because it always bites you. I kind of just want to see who comes in front of me, but if I were to choose, I guess, I would face Houston. And the reason I would face Houston is I understand that, that Keuchel's been filthy against us. I get that. But to me, there's a, in a one-game situation at Yankee Stadium, I want the more inexperienced team. I want the more inexperienced pitcher. I don't want to see, because it's either Keuchel or Cole Hamels, both left-handed pitchers, both both having good years. But Hamels has a lot more big game experience, in the postseason, in the World Series. He knows how to pitch in those situations. And to me, that Texas lineup with Prince Fielder hitting the way he's doing right now is a lot scarier than what Houston's been doing lately. Although Houston's been very good against us. You know, they've really had our number all year. But I don't know. I think I'd rather see the younger, inexperienced team.
Well, I'd rather see Texas, and you nailed it. Keuchel. I mean, he's filthy. He's given up zero runs in 17 innings against the Yankees this year. Meanwhile, I know it was only one time, but the Yankees scored, I think, 6 runs off of Cole Hamels when he was with the Phillies earlier in the season. So they've seen Cole Hamels a bunch. I have more confidence in the Yankees lineup to hit the Texas pitching than I do the Houston pitching, and at Yankee Stadium, I'll take that all day. But it, to me, it's not going to be easy either way, and I'm just terrified of one game playoffs. You know, it's essentially a game 7, pins and needles the whole time, I'm sure.
Oh, no doubt. And Keuchel, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Keuchel's a different pitcher on the road too. Granted, he did do well against Yankees at Yankee Stadium, throughout the season he has been a different pitcher. He hasn't been as dominant on the road. So I don't know. Cole Hamels just kind of looks like a very confident man right now. Ever since he came over, he seems like he's kind of been on a mission. I really don't want to run into him, in all honesty.
And you know what? Houston might have the Oakland Athletics from last year syndrome, where they are totally fading going into the playoffs. And when you don't have momentum going into a one-game playoff, it can be a death sentence. So, you know, maybe that's another reason why you want to face Houston.
Yeah, I mean, two weeks left in the season, though, can turn around a team. So we'll see what happens in these next 2 weeks. But honestly, I'll just, like, give me somebody. Just get me in that game and give me somebody, or get me past that game, and I don't want to see either any of these guys. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's just play who's in front of us. Yeah, I want the game at Yankee Stadium.
Get me that division crown.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
So let's rewind back to Monday at Tampa. The Yankees won 4-1. And CeCe, 6 2/3 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts. Probably his best overall start of the season. And he followed up with another good start on Sunday versus the Mets. So since he come off the DL, he's been phenomenal.
He really has been. I mean, we've been complaining about CeCe quite a bit this season, but after he got shut down for a little bit, had that cortisone shot, got his knee, I guess, back in a decent shape, and he feels good on it. He's been very good. I mean, he's been, last night he was hitting what, 92 on the gun as well. So I mean, that's enough velocity. That's enough velocity to do damage with the fastball, in my opinion. So yeah, he's been very good. He's been locating a lot better. And the one thing that CeCe's always brought, and you can see it when he's pitching well, is he's just so animated, and he brings that energy that I think, to me, is that extra energy that the Yankees really need, because a lot of these guys just don't show very much emotion on the mound, and CeCe is as animated as anybody, both on the mound and in the dugout when he's pitching. So, I'm glad to see him out there. I'm glad to see he's doing well. It looks like that knee is holding up for now. Let's just hope it can stay good. I don't know what the time between cortisone shots is, like when you can get them, but if that's what it takes to keep that thing going, let's keep going, man.
And he's a total different pitcher on the road. I think he pitches with more confidence on the road in big ballparks. I mean, Citi Field is gigantic. Tampa is pretty big as well, especially compared to Yankee Stadium. So he doesn't have to be as perfect on the road. He can just make his pitches and not worry about giving up pop fly home runs.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point. And then that's when he gets more aggressive, and he's got more confidence, I think, because he doesn't have that in the back of his head. So yeah, I agree. I think that's something that we can look forward to, is seeing him pitch on the road more often down the stretch.
But getting back to this Monday game, he pitched great, but the Yankees offense didn't do him any favors. They got no hit into the eighth inning. There was a couple base running mistakes in the sixth inning with one out. Gardner was on second base. He reached on a walk and I think an error or something. And McCann hits a deep liner to right field, which I thought it was at least going to get over the right fielder's head. Right. But Matuk, I don't even know how to say his name, Matuk, made an awesome play.
Close enough.
Yeah, and what the hell is Gardner doing running?
It makes no sense. It really makes zero sense. And it just goes back to the fact that Gardner is just a below average base runner, and it's a shame with that much speed. Because look, if that ball gets over his head, you're scoring anyway. If it's caught, you're tagging. So stand on the bag. You know, don't go within 5 feet of the bag. Look, you got to be much smarter than that.
It's amazing how his instincts on the bases have almost gotten worse over the last couple of years.
I don't remember. I mean, they just never been good. I don't know if I have a judgment of saying they're bad. Or
I don't remember them being this bad, though.
Yeah. Well, he's also in more situations. He's getting up more often, too, because he's at the top of the lineup. So we're seeing it more often as well in more prevalent situations, I think. So that could be something. But the fact that – I mean, that's 101 right there. That's basically – you see a fly ball that deep. I mean, if it's over his head, you're scoring. If it's caught, you're tagging. Just get on the bag.
It's little league stuff.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
And other issues with this game is that Girardi left Justin Wilson in way too long. Wilson, in the seventh inning, got out of a jam. He got the last two outs of the seventh and then comes back out. And Joe's trying to stretch him for four outs, which, you know, we've seen it. Wilson's not a longer guy. He's great for one, two, even three outs. But once you extend it past that, he doesn't have it. And Joe left him in to face Longoria, a righty, who he got out. But then he also left him in to face Forsyth, who's a righty, and he didn't get him out. He gave up the go-ahead double. It was a nothing-nothing game at this point. And if any time you're going to use Betances, it's this time to get a righty.
This was the eighth inning, right?
Eighth inning, 0-0.
Use your
big guns. What are you doing, Joe? But he leaves Wilson out there, and he gives up the go-ahead run. It's add it to the list of stuff I don't understand.
No, I mean, yeah, Betances, to me, that's the situation you want to use him. I mean, some managers, aren't bringing in their guys in a tie game, I guess, on the road.
Your closer, not your eighth inning guy, though.
Right, but that's, I mean, that's some of their philosophies, and obviously that's one of his philosophies that he just sticks to. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I think that's a spot where you need to bring in Betances. But just goes back to chalk it up for Joe Girardi with his bullpen management doing what he wants to do. So, I got no words for it. It is what it is.
It looked like it was going to be one of the most annoying 1-0 losses of the season, but our guy A-Rod comes up with two outs in the ninth and gets the game-tying double. First game-tying RBI with two outs or later in the ninth inning of his career, which I was actually even surprised about considering how long he's been in the league.
Yeah, well, that was always one of his knocks, was the clutch hitting. Like, he pads his stats at the end of games when they're blowouts or when we're getting killed. So, yeah, I was very surprised to see it just because he's been playing for so long. But at the same time, I was like, okay.
But he's gotten some big hits this year and in the playoffs in 09. So I figured that there's at least one time he ran into one.
Yeah, just not a tying RBI with two outs later in the ninth.
Yeah.
The ninth.
And then they walked McCann, and Slade Heathcott got probably, to that point in the season, that's got to be the biggest hit of the season.
That was huge, man. That was so much fun to watch and to see the dugout erupt and just go crazy with all the young kids and A-Rod acting like a 15-year-old kid, man.
A-Rod has to grab the helmet off of every guy who hits a home run this season.
Yeah, it's hilarious. That's the emotion that I love seeing out of this dugout, man. I love seeing it, and we need more of it. We need more of that just raw emotion. Granted, you know, the situation called for it, but that was a huge hit. Slade Heathcott was a huge, huge hit.
What do you know? A kid, a September call-up who hasn't seen the major league pitching getting a big hit for them. I'm sure Girardi couldn't believe it.
And the funny thing is he was talking to Meredith Marakovich at the end in the post-game interview and saying he got his little scouting report from John Ryan Murphy saying he had a pretty straight fastball and a Bugs Bunny changeup and took it out, man. It was great to see.
I love seeing the kids contribute. I think it provides this team with some spark. As we've said a million times, we want to see more of that.
It gives us a spark, too. It gives the fan base something that this fan base loves young players that come through the system. I mean, there's probably nothing we love more than our own guys and coming up and doing things early. So, yeah, not only for the team, but it gives everybody a big jolt.
So let me ask you something. Put your manager hat on for 1 second. Heathcott's coming off the home run. He's riding high on Monday night. The Yankees get a great come-from-behind win. We go into Tuesday, and Jacoby Ellsbury is sitting there with his 100 batting average over the last month, Would you start Slade Heathcott or would you stick with Jacoby Ellsbury in the leadoff spot?
Because of the situation, and he hits that shot and he's jacked up and ready to go, I'm probably starting Heathcott at that point.
Of course.
Absolutely. Look, Girardi, this is what he's doing. I'm putting Girardi's hat on for a second because I'm gonna tell you what he's thinking. He's thinking that Jacoby Ellsbury, the only way he's gonna get off this snag is by hitting himself through it. And I'll agree with him in one aspect. While I don't think that's the case, I think that a day off could do him some good. But we do need Ellsbury to be hitting down the stretch. So one way or another, we needed to get him off of that snag, that skid. And you know, if that's what you believe, that putting him out there and putting him out there and putting him out there and letting him hit himself through the slump is gonna get him through it, then that's what you got to do. But the one thing that we do need that no one will dispute is we need Jacoby Ellsbury hitting. We need that player for us to succeed. It's not going to be Slade Heathcott down the stretch that's going to give us that jolt. It's going to be Jacoby Ellsbury, and we need him going. So if Joe's belief is that you're going to hit through it, then I'm okay with it, to tell you the truth. But in that situation,
he played all four games against Toronto and then Monday against Tampa and was 0-for the entire time. Joe tried to let him hit out of it, and he couldn't.
No, I agree, and it makes sense. It makes sense to give the Heathcott that game because the following game we know that Archer's pitching and that Ellsbury has great numbers on Archer. So it would be a perfect day for hey, take a breather. You're going against Archer and getting out of the slump.
It almost worked out too perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Girardi would have looked great if that was the case, to tell you the truth. But yeah, so this another head scratcher. I agree with you. I agree with you on that one.
So it was this move, among many others, that prompted Rich and I to start hashtag Girardi Wood. We got that nice little trending on Twitter on Tuesday night. People making some jokes what Girardi would do. You know, sit Slade Heathcott when he just hit the game winning home run. Probably sit Babe Ruth against a tough lefty. You know, things of that nature. Take Nolan Ryan out after 100 pitches. Just many of the Girardi Woods that I found to be pretty funny. Definitely check out that hashtag.
I saw the one of them that was my favorite was starting Wally Pipp after he came back.
Oh, yeah, because you can't lose your job to injury.
Yeah, I thought that was a great one.
So this game they lost 6-3. I know baseball, you know, the whole cliche, momentum is only as good as your next starting pitcher, but how you lose after that momentum coming off Monday night still baffles me. The Yankees had Warren going, and he could only go four innings because it was his first start since June, I believe. So you knew he wasn't going to be stretched out. But Girardi then had to go to guys like Rumbelow and Caleb Cotham and all these middle relievers who we've seen suck time after time. Once you go to enough of them, it's going to go bad.
And I talked shit like 3 seconds before this home run happened too. It was to you and Rich actually. We have a group conversation that we were talking on through the game, and I was saying that like I think I could be better than Nick Franklin in the major leagues just by looking at him, which is a complete just utter overstatement. Obviously, I was more joking just because he's like a string bean. He looks like he's 150 pounds, like 5'4". He just doesn't look like a professional anything. And then literally like next pitch, shot. He hits the ball out of the ballpark. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. So you can put that one on Rumbelow, and then a little asterisk. You could put half of it on me too.
No, you got to add some Girardi in there.
All right, and Girardi. So there's the threefold you can blame on that one.
Well, because Girardi brought Rumbelow in the fifth, and he got out of the fifth inning.
Yeah,
perfect. Take Rumbelow out of the game. You've already gotten more out of him than you thought. But nope, Girardi has to bring him back out for the next inning, and he gives up the home run.
Yeah, see, I don't understand when you have these guys coming in spot relief appearances to bring them in, put them in the dugout. Let them sit for half an inning and then come back out. To me, that makes no sense. They're not in that situation. They haven't been in that situation. Why put that guy after a good start? Let's keep his momentum up because we're going to need these arms. Bring in another guy to pitch give him a clean inning. And Girardi left him in was trying to play with house money at that point and got burned.
And then later in the game, the Yankees are only down by one in the eighth inning. So you're thinking, you know, after what we saw last night, we can get, you know, we can come back on this team. But Joe went to Brian Mitchell, down one in the eighth inning, and deja vu all over again, right? He gives up a run and pretty much ices the game for the Rays.
Brian Mitchell is playing himself, has played himself into mop-up duty. I mean, he has been really bad lately. I mean, he just looks like he has zero confidence out there. He can't get people out. He's just not looking good. He's really – and it's a shame because – and I don't know if it's because, you know, if you look back at the games and like that turning point was when he got hit, you know, with the line drive back at him. But it seems like ever since then, he has just not had, not been good on the mound. And he showed a lot of promise early and I'd say in the middle of the season. So it's a shame to see what's happened with him. He really needs to get his confidence back.
Listen, it sucks that if that's the reason why he's struggling, that sucks. And I feel bad for him. But Girardi can't keep pitching him.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. He's played himself into a position where you can't go to him at any big situations. He's just not pitching well. Can't get people out.
I mean, but for mop-up duty, Joe uses his mop-up guys down one in the eighth inning.
Yep, that is true. So,
one other thing I want to mention from this game. The eighth inning, the Yankees are still only down by one. This is before Mitchell gives up the game. But eighth inning, they pinch run with Noel, who's fast as all hell. And we've actually seen him pinch run a few times and get some big stolen bases. But Bird is up. There's a 1-0 count. And Noel runs. And Bird swings at the 1-0 pitch. He had the base stolen easily. And that's just, I think, a little bit of the rookie showing through on Bird, where you got to take a pitch there and let the guy steal.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say against that is unless there was a hit and run on for some reason, and that's why he was swinging if he got a sign. But if that was not the case and he's swinging at that, I'm in the same boat. I'm letting him take the base or at least giving him the option to get in a scoring position, and then I'm going to take my hacks.
Yeah, I mean, Bird, I almost feel stupid complaining about Bird because I think he's been fantastic, and I'm really excited about his future. But it's little things like that where you notice the difference between him and Teixeira. And
yeah, but he is a rookie, so that's it. I mean, he looked like a rookie because he is one. So, I mean, that's, you know, unless there was a sign coming from the dugout for him to, if it was a hit and run, then yeah, he looked like a rookie. But you know what? He's allowed to, in my opinion. He's allowed to look like a rookie.
Oh, and he's getting better, and I'm sure he'll get better. And I think this experience is going to do wonders for him going into next season. But
yeah, as long as they find a spot for him. As long as they find a spot for him and don't throw him back in to get every day at bats.
Well, Jack Curry tweeted, and I actually found this interesting, that he thinks they might try Bird out in the offseason at third base.
Yeah, I could see that. I saw that tweet as well, and it's definitely an interesting option for him to possibly platoon over there as well. So, you know, I mean, if he's a super utility guy where you're using him at first, DH, and third base, that's a lot of value, especially for, you know, guys like Tex and A-Rod, keeping them fresh. So,
yeah, and let's
be
real.
That could go a long way.
Let's be realistic. The chances of A-Rod and Teixeira staying healthy again next season, I mean, very, very slim.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, hopefully he can make that transition and actually hold down third base. That would be I want him. I just, you know, I want him on the team one way or another. So for him to make himself available in that way, it would be terrific.
So Wednesday, the Yankees got the win, winning the series in Tampa, which is what they had to do. Ellsbury finally broke out of his slump. And we said this before, he owns Chris Archer, which, I mean, Archer's one of the best pitchers in the league. So for Ells to have those kind of numbers off of him and get two hits going into the game in that kind of slump, I mean, that's saying something. So that's great to see Ellsbury get out of his slump. And he actually was hitting over the weekend against the Mets.
Yeah, and good for him. Exactly, kind of what we set it up for a little bit earlier is he had very good numbers against Archer, and that's the guy where he can bounce back, and he has been hitting the ball a lot harder this weekend. So look, he's a guy that we need. We need the top of the order, and to me, Ellsbury and Gardner feed off of each other. I think when one's going, the other one's going as well, or at least there's a better opportunity for both of them to be going. And I think the adverse is exactly the same, too. When one's slumping, the other one seems to slump. So those guys are a crucial link to this lineup, and we need them hitting down the stretch.
Absolutely. And I don't think they've both been hitting at the same time, really, since earlier in the season. So maybe if they get going towards the end of the stretch run here, that could really be a boost.
Oh, no doubt. And they were, I mean, in the beginning of the season, they were creating havoc on the base path and, you know, havoc in the starting pitcher's mind. Because when those two guys are on with the amount of speed that they have, you know, you're giving a lot of different things to think about for that starting pitcher. And then you have, you know, the power that comes up behind them with Beltran now really hitting, A-Rod, McCann, and even Bird. So yeah, there's a to me that's the crucial part of the Yankees hitting.
All right, I want to talk about Betances, who in this game on Wednesday comes into the game with two outs in the seventh inning and walks three straight guys. His command is totally lost. I mean, and we've seen this before, right? We saw this against Baltimore a couple weeks ago where he walked the bases loaded and could only throw his slider for strikes. I mean, it almost looks like they blindfolded him, spun him around, and was like, okay, go out there and pitch. I mean, it's going everywhere, in the dirt, up and in, you know, just no command at all. And I'm getting a little nervous from this.
Well, and it's interesting because when you look at Betances and the reason he was shifted into a closer or a reliever role was because when he was a starter, his command was off. He could not locate pitches. And it seems like when he does get tired, when he starts being, you know, his arm is fatigued or his legs are fatigued or, you know, whatever it is, he starts missing. And when he's missing, you know, that fastball becomes a hell of a lot more hittable. Every pitch becomes more hittable. So, you know, you were talking, you know, he'll make 70 appearances this season. You know, the fatigue factor is a real thing, I think, with him. And I think that's one of the big reasons he was, you know, slotted into a reliever role. So, you know, we need him to be saved and fresh for big situations more now than any other time. So, you know, hopefully, you know, if we could put up some runs and not use him. But going into this Toronto series, we're going to need him. We're going to need him to be right.
Yep, he'll make 70 appearances, and it'll be the second season in a row. His first two seasons in the big, 70 appearances. And in his entire career, Mariano only had three seasons of 70 appearances.
Yeah, that's saying something right there. I mean, that's a lot of appearances. Could be the Joe Girardi factor.
Yeah, I think exactly. That goes to Girardi's bullpen management, and poor bullpen management, more specifically.
Yeah.
All right, so Friday, Yankees or had an off day Thursday, and then they go into Citi Field against the Mets. Friday night, just kind of a lame game. The lineup that Girardi put out there on Friday might have been the worst lineup all season. It reminded me of 2013 when we had Vernon Wells batting cleanup. He sits McCann and Ellsbury after they have days off on Thursday, and after Ellsbury just broke out of his slump on Wednesday. He sits both of those guys. Guys who you're paying $150 million and $82 million contracts to, sits them because Matz is a lefty, I'm assuming. What other reason would there be? But how do you sit those two guys in a pennant race? I just don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. I don't know how you trot out the lineup that he did. You know, you look at it, he was loading the lineup with righties, but guess what? When you have guys like McCann and Ellsbury who you're paying that much money, and like you said, Ellsbury just got some confidence back, getting out of his long slump. I mean, I'm not saying he's out of it, but I'm saying he had some confidence going in. You play the man. You play your superstars. You stop overmanaging and you play your superstars. You know, put some pressure on the rookie kid who's coming out against us. I mean, the kid, he's been phenomenal coming up, Matz. He's a lefty, I get it, but he's also a rookie. Let's throw some big names at him and see what we can do and see him get rattled. I mean, to me, I'm playing my big guys against a kid every single time. So I don't understand it. To me, it was a nonsense lineup. It aspired zero confidence in anybody when you look at it.
I mean, if I'm Ellsbury and McCann, I'm storming into Girardi's office on Friday afternoon, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Put me in the lineup. I want to play. Obviously, I mean, maybe they did that and he told them to shut up. But, I mean, with 2 weeks to go in the season, no days off for these guys. Come on. Like, we need to win games. We can't be giving up games.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you know, it's back, you know, having Brendan Ryan in there for his defense. He's basically an automatic out at this point. You know, it's just, I don't understand it. I don't understand trolling him out. I mean, look, I know Girardi loves his vets, and I know he loves his defense. But, you know, Brendan Ryan, while he did make a nice play in the game, he's made some suspect plays in the field as well as Stephen Drew has. So I'm not going to always just say that it's because of their defense, because to tell you the truth, their defense hasn't been stellar this year as rotational guys out there. So I'm not really buying it.
You want to hear a Girardi gem? So post-game, Girardi was quoted as saying that it was tough without two of their big boppers, McCann and A-Rod, with that lineup. pretty sure he had control over who he put in the lineup. It's not like those guys were injured. So for him to say, oh yeah, it's tough without two of our big boppers, dude, it's your own doing. You can't use that as an excuse when you did it.
And look, he'd made me so furious. I think it was the sixth inning. We had runners in scoring position. We had, I think, less than two outs. Yeah, less than two outs for sure. And Brendan Ryan was up. Now, the situation is less than two outs. Brendan Ryan's up. Tanaka's on deck. Tanaka is kind of approaching a position where Girardi's probably going to take him out. Probably you would definitely pitch the next inning, but maybe nothing after that. To me, I don't even care if you need to throw up A-Rod at that point. You put yourself in a position to get back in the game, to take advantage of it, and to inspire some confidence. Even if they're walking A-Rod, because first base was open, even if you're walking A-Rod and sending up and putting yourself in the position where you might have to pinch hit for Tanaka, then you know what? Press the situation, in my opinion. Press the situation. Let's try to get these runs when they're available, rather than Brendan Ryan swings at the first pitch, grounds out, inning over. You know, it makes no sense.
Absolutely. I don't even know what to say because I agree with you. So, and I think most people agree with that statement as well. So. I'm done trying to figure out Girardi's management because it makes no sense and it goes against everything that I think I've learned watching baseball for 27 years.
You're done, but we're going to talk about it more every single time we talk.
Yeah, but I'm done trying to like figure out what he's thinking because
right.
it's like the thinkings of a madman in reality.
Yeah, no, he understands his own logic. Not many other people do.
Tanaka didn't pitch bad, but he made two mistakes that went for home runs. I say this all the time. Death, taxes, and Tanaka giving up a home run. It's pretty much what we got with him.
Yep, two solo shots. But still, you know, get the bats going. I don't even blame the bats because the bats were so bad that were in the lineup.
Yeah, there were no bats that could get
going. It's really hard to blame them when you have that much firepower sitting on the bench just doing nothing. In a big game. It's not only a big game against your crosstown rival, but it's the first game of the series. You know what I mean? Like let's go. Let's get some momentum going into this series and start off on the right foot. It frustrates me.
Well, this is going to frustrate you too. Saturday, the Yankees are up 5-0. Pineda is cruising into the sixth inning at 86 pitches and out waddles Girardi to take him out.
Yeah, I don't know if this is Girardi saying, "Hey, Pineda has not been so good. Let's leave him on a good foot."
It's a 5-0 game.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to play Girardi here. I'm throwing him at least through the end of the inning. He's going six innings for me, no doubt. If you want to bring in someone in the seventh, fine. But 86 pitches, and out into the sixth inning. Let him get through the inning.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
He was pitching great.
Yeah.
And then
have some confidence. There's two ways to talk about that. He's trying to leave him with confidence, but at the same time, you're saying he doesn't have confidence to go more than 5 1/3, when he's pitching well. So you're doing damage in both ways, in my opinion.
I mean, we're not talking about a rookie anymore. We're not talking about Severino, who you can make an argument. Okay, you got him out of there before things got bad. Pineda's a veteran at this point.
I have a hard time calling him a veteran, though. I mean, the guy has not pitched a full season.
He's pitched enough in the major leagues where you don't need to coddle him.
Fine, but they're still trying to coddle him because of the injuries. I mean, he's on that list. He's on the injury coddled list. Him and Tanaka are always going to be coddled.
It's 86 pitches, not 186 pitches.
Hey, I get it, but I'm telling you the reasoning, and they're going to coddle these guys because of injury threats. That's just the way they're approaching these two guys.
So they're going to get to a situation in the playoffs, and it's one out in the sixth inning at 85 or 90 pitches, and they take their starters out? Or are they going to finally leave him in then, but since they haven't gone to 110 pitches all season, they don't have it, and they haven't been to that point in the season. They can't push it anymore.
That's the situation that might bite us in the ass. You nailed it. They are going to leave him in at that point because it is do or die at that point. But you're right. Maybe they are fatigued at that point because they have not done it. So, hey, you hit it on the head with that one. I agree. I'm trying to see why they're doing this. And to me, it's because of the injury risk factor.
I understand you can't extend pitchers to 115 pitches every start out. But I think there's situations where you can push them.
And no doubt. CeCe's been pushed. CeCe was even pushed over 100 pitches, I think, not Sunday, but on his last outing on Monday. He was pitched beyond it. So there's guys where you can stretch them out, and they need to be stretched out at some point. You need to have the confidence to say, okay, look, they're healthy, let them go. Because, you know, you have to have that confidence. If they're out there, you have to assume they're healthy. That's the way I approach things. If they're out there and pitching, they're healthy.
The Yankees get a 5-0 win, and I'm sitting here pissed off because I just don't understand what Girardi did. And then to get the last 11 outs of the game in a 5-0 game, Girardi used 6 pitchers.
Well, hey, good for them. I'm glad they got the outs. I'm glad they did their job. Good for those 6 pitchers who did their job.
And you know who was one of those
pitchers?
And hey,
he didn't leave anybody in too long. You're not complaining that he left anybody in too long.
Do you know who one of those pitchers was?
Chris Capuano.
Well, no, Dellin Betances, who is pitching in a 5-0 game, yet we want to save him because he's got, you know, 70 appearances almost. You don't use him in a game when it's a nothing-nothing game in Tampa, but you use him in a 5-0 game. I would love for Girardi to explain that to me.
Yeah, no, it's classic Joe Girardi right there. There's no explanation. He could explain it to you, but you wouldn't understand it.
I mean, I'm so pissed off, and the Yankees won 2 out of 3 against the Mets this weekend.
All right, well, simmer down. You need to be happy. You need to relax. You need to get some confidence and some excitement. And, you know, going into this Toronto series, we can't have you on the negative train walking into this. Come on now.
I'm always on the negative train. Yankees ended with an 11-2 blowout win against the Mets. CeCe, as we already said, looked awesome last night, I thought. He made a couple mistakes in the first inning, but then really settled into the game. The Mets aren't the best hitting lineup, but they're pretty damn good since they got Cespedes and David Wright back. So you want to say, okay, he cruised against Tampa. That's not really a good hitting lineup. To shut down the Mets in Citi Field, I think, is a very, very good thing.
Well, and I think we ran into their lineup at a good time, too, because if I remember correctly, I think last night Cespedes broke an 0-for-19 streak. So he was not hitting, you know, during this series, and he had been hitting. He was on fire for the couple weeks before that, really since they got him. But he had cooled off right at the good time for us. So that was good timing on our part. But yeah, you know, it's they don't have the greatest, but the Yankees came out. CeCe pitched his butt off again, man. Animated, like super animated when Beltran hit that double and Ackley hit that 3-run home run. Loved seeing it. I love seeing that fire. I cannot understate how important to me that momentum and that fire in the dugout is for having a good stretch and having, you know, hitting a good streak.
CeCe's definitely pitching himself back into a playoff rotation.
Oh, easily, dude. I'm telling you, he's going to be in there, no doubt about it.
You know, as much as we complain about the Yankees pitching situation and taking guys out, at least we're not dealing with what's going on with Matt Harvey right now. He pitched 5 scoreless innings and then was taken out because of his, you know, innings limit, the whole thing with Scott Boras, 185 innings, blah, blah, blah. And the Mets pen immediately implodes. Beautiful.
I can only imagine how crazy you'd be going if that was a situation that we'd be running into right now.
I follow a couple Mets fans on Twitter, and they're pretty pissed off.
Yeah, you have to be, right? It's the same thing that happened with Steven Strasburg. I mean, they shut him down.
But they're also pissed off at Harvey, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of that's gone down a little bit. I don't know. When he came out and said that, look, I'm trying to do it. From what I saw, I didn't actually see this, but I already got into kind of a heated argument in the dugout when they were pulling him. I don't know if that's show. You know, the Emmys were last night, so maybe Harvey was, you know, putting on his
that was staged.
Putting on his little Emmy rant, and just running, you know, getting all mad and going into the bullpen, into the dugout, or into the clubhouse. But yeah, you know, look, he looked phenomenal too. I tell you, he looked really good, and that was
he's filthy.
Yeah, and that was his first start in 12 days.
Yeah.
So you know, him fresh is a scary thing. He looked at 7 strikeouts, I think, in 5 innings. So.
Yeah, and Ackley got a big 3-run bomb. I think as long as he's hitting, Drew and Ryan should not see the field.
Yeah, Ackley definitely has been hitting the ball well, and he's got the pedigree, man. He's got the pedigree. I guess Drew does too, but Ackley's been hitting the ball very well. Drew was inserted right after that home run as a defensive replacement, I think in the sixth or the seventh inning. So it was pretty early for a defensive replacement, but he was the Yankees blew it open after that, but he was inserted as a footnote.
Girardi, even though he got tossed from this game, was probably managing from the clubhouse.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I was like, I saw that move. I was like, Girardi is still managing. There's no doubt about it. Although Refsnyder did play, right?
It was very confusing how Girardi got thrown out of this game. He argued a called check swing strike early in the game, came out very, very animated, got in the third base ump's face. But there was no, you know, big sign of you're out of this game. The announcers on ESPN did not mention he was thrown out of the game, but he was thrown out of the game at some point. I just don't know when it happened.
Yeah, it had to have been at that point, and it just wasn't an overly stated thing by the umpire.
He stayed in the dugout.
I didn't see him come back out, so maybe I just missed it, or they just realized he was still in the dugout and were like, you got to go. But I'll tell you one thing. I think he had Girardi's big thing. He always gets so mad about the strike zone. Like that's his big deal. And defending guys about the strike zone. That's what it seems to me. Like every time he's out, it's because of the strike zone. And I think that's what set him off, because the pitch before that happened, or it was in that at bat. There was a called strike that was just terrible. That was not a strike. And then the check swing, which to me was not close either, it was not a strike. Just set him off the edge. And it was a quick set off the edge, but apparently he got tossed in the middle of that somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't even look like the bench really rallied around that either.
Yeah, is what it is. Girardi shows his fire when he does, but look, it was a big win. We needed this win. We needed to get this momentum back and going into Toronto with guns blazing, and that's what it seems like we're doing right now. So I'm glad there's a good momentum shift, and hopefully they can carry it into the Toronto series.
A sweep is unlikely because we have Nova pitching in one of those games. But if you take two out of three and you're a game and a half out with 11 games to play, you now put the pressure on Toronto.
Totally agree. We need some good starts by Warren and Severino, and then going into that Nova game, I'm hoping we have two wins.
And the last time the Yankees were up in Toronto, they took two out of three, so I think they have confidence up there.
Yep, and that's where Severino pitched really well in Toronto as well. He got batted around when he was in the Bronx when Toronto came to New York, but in Toronto, Severino fared extremely well. So hopefully he can build off of his last start as well and really carry that into this next one in Toronto, because we do need him. We need him, and we need Warren to stretch out a little bit longer too, and give us a good quality start.
Warren looked good in the four innings against Tampa, so if he can push it to five, maybe even six innings, that's I think can be pretty good.
I mean, Warren's looked good in the starting rotation when he was in the rotation, so there was a big controversy of taking him out in the first place.
I actually agreed with that.
Yeah, well, but he's looked good. He's looked very good when put into this role. So, hopefully this is a comfort zone for him, and he has got more confidence in the starting rotation, and he can build off of it, because we definitely need him down the stretch.
I think they totally misused him out of the bullpen though this summer.
I mean, it's a classic example of them misusing and flip-flopping a guy. We saw it as early with the Jabba rules and Warren not knowing a true role and being stretched out and then being used in an eighth inning. And then, it's a confusing thing, I think, for him. And he doesn't know when he's going to get in, or he can't really acclimate to a situation and get his body ready for it.
All right, so as we said earlier, no off days between now and the end of the season, so we got a lot of Yankees baseball coming up. Three against Toronto, just got to win that series and then go take care of the White Sox, who are not very good. All right, we'll catch you guys next time.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.